Father, thank you. Thank you that you cared enough to lay your life down, It's so complicated when we try to figure out Trinity, God, and yet we know that Holy Spirit dwells within us, that Jesus made his dwelling place among us, and Father, that you're covering and caring for us, and as Jesus is in the Father, and the Father's in the Spirit, and all of us are supposed to be in the Spirit with him, and I just pray, God, that we can experience that properly, burn away all of the dross, cleanse us with your launderer's soap and your purifying fire. Cause us to be people of your word that demonstrate to the world your love. I pray that none of us here will be those weeds that are growing up with the good wheat. I pray that when harvest time comes, we'll be in the group that is told, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Love you, God. Today we will be in James chapter 3, but before we do that, it's the fourth of the month, and once again, just like last month, the fourth of the month fell on a Sunday. And we get to look at Proverbs chapter 4 today. So, Proverbs 4 in the Pew Bibles, it's on page 973. It'll also be up on the wall. It works out well because the text in James is all about wisdom, human wisdom versus spiritual, godly wisdom. We know that every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Well, that includes that gift of wisdom. And we also know that there's a counterfeit for everything good that God tries to provide for us, and he does these wonderful things, and then there's a counterfeit that the enemy wants to try to say, well, no, this is really wisdom. And if we look at the world right now, there's a whole lot of misconception of what wisdom is. And yet it's not just out there in the world, it sometimes is in us. The concept of arrogance and self-promotion. I don't think any of us are immune to having worldly wisdom. Now, here's Solomon in Proverbs, and he's writing to his sons, and he wants them, in chapter 4 here, he wants them to get wisdom. And he goes about it a number of different ways, but this chapter really is just an admonition for his sons. One of them's going to become king, and as we look at the history of Israel, his son didn't take the lesson very well. And things kind of fell apart. And I think when it's easy to point fingers and look at the rest of the world and say, well, look at, they should be doing this or this or this. But, you know, God has given us his word for us. It's not just for them out there. And I can think of myself as a son because I had a dad. How many of you had a dad? Not everyone's had that privilege, okay? So, you know, it's a beautiful thing to be able to say that you've had a father. Kathy and I worked with a lot of kids that didn't. So Solomon had his sons, and he's writing to them in verse 1 of chapter 4 in Proverbs. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. I can't help but just pause here and think, you know, they knew their dad. This would be my dad telling me that, he said this a number of times, do as I say, not as I do. Here's Solomon saying, kids, I've messed up in every way possible. I've made all the mistakes that you don't have to. Can you learn from my mistakes so that you don't have to learn the same way I did? Listen, for I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me. So he's talking about David now, King David. He taught me, and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live. And I'm sure Solomon, at the time that David's telling him that, is thinking the same thing. Yeah, do as I say, not as I do. We can all give better advice than we can demonstrate. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. You know, when you're around somebody that's demonstrating wisdom, it's a beautiful thing. Listen, my son. I get the feeling his kids weren't listening. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it, that path of the wicked. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot rest, the evildoers, they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. How many of us have stumbled and not even figured out why? Something's not going well in our lives, and we don't even know what we did to get there. There's a simple way to get away from that problem of stumbling is go into the light. Jesus is the light, and he would happily, gladly shine a path for us. And again, one of David's Psalms, he talks about that your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my pathway. If we can't get Jesus to show us light just from saying, Jesus, show us light, he's already given us a written revelation. If we get into his word, we're going to find opportunity to know him better. We can see the light to even find Jesus. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life for those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Again, that's a hard saying, because how often have you said or done something and said, well, I didn't really mean it? It says here, everything you do flows from your heart. It's hard to say, yeah, I'm mean and I'm a jerk, but I didn't really mean it. Because somewhere in my heart, that jerky meanness comes out. Somewhere in my heart is the stuff that's flowing out. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Almost feels like we're in James already, right? He talks so much about what we do with our mouth. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Thank you, Lord. And now in James chapter 3. Again, in the Pew Bible, we'll be on page 1846. In chapter 3, James started out warning people not to be too quick to want to be a teacher, because teachers are going to be judged more strictly. And then he talks about how if you think you're perfect, just slow down a minute. Look at your mouth. Look at your tongue. If anybody can tame the tongue, they're perfect in all they do. They can tame their whole body. He's clearly saying no human can tame the tongue. And again, that could be discouraging if we didn't recognize that there is a tongue tamer. Jesus Christ can tame our tongue. No human can tame our tongue, but Jesus can. And so he looks like he's switching gears again, but he really isn't, because in verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Who could be a teacher? Because he's telling people, you know, not too many people should choose to be teachers. Who's wise? Who's understanding? Who is it that you want to turn to when you're having trouble in your life? Who do you go to? Who do you want to talk to? You don't go to the person that has all the right answers in the wrong life. Because whatever they're teaching is not working for them. I've grown up around religious people, and I can guarantee you that a lot of them mean well. We can use that term. And at times, they're teaching really perfect doctrine. And it's just so right. And then they don't walk it. And then there's times where I feel like I can teach God's word plainly, and yet I can't necessarily walk it perfectly. Who is wise and understanding among you? Again, be careful not to want to be a teacher, because there's going to be stricter judgment on you. People are watching. It was surprising the number of people that I either heard them directly to me or kind of behind my back yesterday over at the tavern saying, I'm so glad that they came. It meant something to some of the people in the community. If you don't think they're watching what's going on in this church community, there's a lot of watching. They want us to accept them and love them. I hope we can do that better and more. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. What a beautiful turn of phrase there. In the humility that comes from wisdom. As we've gone through Proverbs since June, we've basically every Sunday been in a chapter of Proverbs. How many verses have been about arrogance? Not just seeking your own will. About wisdom, about humility. It's all kind of all woven together there. The humility that comes from wisdom. You know, when I'm trying to fight for my rights and prove that I'm in charge, you know, on the telephone with businesses that you think have wronged you, where's that humility that comes from wisdom? When we're going down Highway 2 and somebody's irritating us by driving too slow in front of us or too fast behind us, where's that humility that comes from wisdom? And I'm not just talking to y'all. It's here. And there's other simple things, but sometimes the bigger things too. When people want to talk politics with you and you don't like their answer and you want to correct them, the humility that comes from wisdom. Meekness and gentleness is kind of the opposite of what he's going to start talking about, is this selfish ambition, this arrogance that is so easy to take on. We feel like, you know, well, no, I've got to take care of myself. This is important for me. If Jesus had had the attitude that every one of us has, we wouldn't be celebrating communion today. He had no reason to have to go to the cross. The humility that comes from wisdom. In wisdom, he created all things. In wisdom, he made the earth. In wisdom, he put the stars in the skies. And this humility that comes from wisdom, this is the creator of everything. He's God of all gods and King of all kings. And he lets the Roman soldiers beat him and spit on him and put him on a cross. And in wisdom, he said, you know, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Where does that come from? Because I know I don't deserve it. If he's dying for me, it's like, why would you do that? Throw me under the bus. Go back to your dad. But remember the section in the few verses before this where, you know, you won't find it in there. That's okay. My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. You know, Jesus was who he was. And when he had the choice of salvation for all of humankind, to give that opportunity to be one with the Father, or self-gratification, he chose to give his life. Because of who he was. He was perfect in all ways. Without sin. And he goes on the cross and bears all of our sins. That's what humility that comes from wisdom looks like. None of us are there. I love when Job's being questioned by his friends and he comes up with this statement, God's wisdom is profound, and he starts describing the wisdom of God and how God made all of these things and did all of these things and was able to put all things in place. Yeah, I don't understand what's going on, and I've lost everything. God's wisdom is profound. I trust that. And then, you know, later, his friends, you know, this is chapters and chapters later, his friends are still kind of on his case and explaining to him, you know, maybe you're an evil person and God's punishing you for something. He's saying, you know, where can wisdom be found? You can't purchase it. And he points out to his friends, you guys don't have it. He doesn't claim to have it for himself either. He just keeps saying, you know, God's wisdom's profound. I want God's wisdom. I don't really think I understand what's going on, but I want God's wisdom. And that was Job. And then, you know, you can't buy wisdom. You can't find it without God. In Psalms, you know, David's talking again that the Lord's works are many, and they were made in his wisdom. You know, all of creation was made in the wisdom that God has. Scientists have been trying to observe and figure things out. And sometimes they're pretty good at putting some of the pieces together and making things make sense. But the best we can do as scientists is to observe and learn. None of us designed and made out of nothing. God's wisdom, in the humility of his wisdom, he is able to create all things. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Follow his precepts. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1. Proverbs 2. Seek wisdom. God will give it. Earlier in James here. You lack wisdom. Chapter 1, I think it's verse 5. I'll turn back to page 2 so I don't misquote. Yeah, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. God's not trying to withhold anything from us. He's got wisdom, and with the humility of wisdom, he doesn't feel like he has to grasp onto it, hold onto it. He's going to share it. So we want to find that person that's living like Christ and turn to that person. That's the person that is wise and understanding. That's the person that really should be teaching. And as I'm in the pulpit and I've, you know, had 6 years of sermons online and you know, maybe they should all be erased. I'm the under-shepherd here. The true pastor of this church is Jesus Christ. So when I'm messing up and making mistakes, blame me. And if something positive and fruitful comes out of my mouth, thank God. He's the one that is wise. He's the one that has understanding. And he's the one that's willing to give that generously and share it. I love that James, the little brother of Jesus, is able to say that. And I've mentioned this so many times. It's like, you know, if you go to your brother and you say, I recognize now that you are God. Something's changed. And I think James learned a little bit of humility there, because he hadn't always been that person, that brother with Jesus. And as he goes to Jesus and he recognizes, wow, I'd been mocking the creator of the universe. How can I stand before him? And he's able to say, just ask. He'll give you wisdom generously without finding fault. He's not going to bring up all the stuff that you did wrong. If you go to pay a bill and you get up to the counter and you want to give them a check and they say, no, that's already been paid. It's like, okay, well, good. Then you come the next day and you want to pay that same bill. No, that's been paid. Jesus doesn't find fault because the fault has been paid for. When he was on the cross and covered our sins, my sins have no more debt. Wages of sin is death. But that's been paid. Verse 14. You can click the slide now. Go ahead. Yeah. James puts a little description here of some wisdom that maybe we shouldn't be seeking. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom, quote-unquote wisdom, does not come down from heaven, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. This wisdom that we try to get without the Father, without God, it's earthly, it's unspiritual, it's demonic. Is there some of that floating around in the world around us or even in our own thoughts? Verse 16, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Chaos. If we try human wisdom, we don't always see the consequences. You might have a very good idea, and somebody might even be able to convince you that what you're thinking and what you're doing is correct and right. But if it's not coming down from God, we're going to create problems somewhere. I was listening to an author, and he was talking about a problem that he had on page 75 of his novel that he was writing. And he realized that the problem didn't start on page 75. It started back on page 6. He'd written something that he had to follow through on, but it didn't come out right. And by the time he got a few pages further, he was messing up the whole plot. We do that in our lives, don't we? We make decisions every day. And then down the road, we think, okay, well, why don't I have any money? This just isn't fair. You know, I'd like to be able to give to more people, and I'd like to be able to pay all my bills, and I'd like to do this and that. And then you recognize, oh, wait, but God gave me some resources, and I squandered them. With our relationships, we let a harsh word go without making things right with our brothers and sisters. And then later, there's roots of bitterness, and those wedges start digging and splitting and dividing. I would guess that most marriages that end in divorce don't end in divorce because of what happened that week or that month. It usually goes back further and deeper. There's things that happen in our lives that we can't take back. Now, God can make all things right. He can turn all things together for good. He can make it work out. And I believe that. But if we're trusting and relying in the wrong wisdom, this earthly, demonic, unspiritual wisdom, there's going to be disorder. There's going to be every evil practice. There's going to be chaos in the outcome, and it's going to show up. Just like every other scientific law or system that's set in place, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. We do something that we think is good, and we are proud of our filthy rags. And then we get disorder and chaos, and we wonder, where'd that come from? Thank you, Jesus.